Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we're back in the political news. Joe Biden is the nominee. Confused, corrupt, bought by the Chinese. Doesn't know what state he's in. Doesn't know his wife from his sister. We dive into what it means that Joe Biden is now the nominee and the accusations that are coming against him in the Me Too movement. And is Me Too dead? And we also talk about the tyrant, the governor of Michigan. Great show in store. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. Comments, feedback. Email us your questions for the upcoming Ask Me Anything. And also, please take out your phones. Do this. It takes just 10 seconds. Open up that podcast app. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. And hit that subscribe button and give us those 5-star ratings. Those 5-star ratings help us stay one of the top podcasts in the world and one of the top podcasts in the entire conservative movement. Thanks so much, everybody. Great show in store. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. Boy, what a busy news week. It looks like America is finally getting on the verge of the precipice, on the edge of getting reopened. We need it. There's businesses that are just waiting for customers to come back. People are dipping into savings. And the best relief and the best help that can come on the way is reopening the American economy. But also breaking news, President Trump has officially halted funding to the WHO. Now, WHO can stand for a lot of different things. I call them, I get a little heat for this, the Wuhan Health Organization. Okay, they're the World Health Organization. But it's always nice to push back against this pro-China outfit. This is so long overdue. According to research that we have done, it shows that U.S. taxpayers have paid over $3.5 billion to the WHO since 2010. Since 2010, U.S. taxpayers have put $3.5 billion to the WHO. Now, you would think the whole idea of funding the WHO with literally billions of dollars would be to prevent against a pandemic like this. President Trump basically put the blame on them, saying that thousands of people have died because of them. Why would we keep on funding them? They are a pro-China outfit. Now, to understand the Chinese philosophy and the Chinese model, and the Chinese Communist Party model, I should say, they part of their takeover or their aimed goal is to take over some of these globalist transnational organizations and generously fund them. Now, what's different about the WHO, though, is they're super pro-China, yet the United States still pays a multiple of the amount of money that China pays into the WHO each year, which goes to the question, are they quietly and secretly paying some of the officials of the WHO under the table? And there's been a lot of discussion around this, and it's so suspicious because the WHO has been silent on the disappearance of doctors and whistleblowers. They just make people disappear. I will disappear you, is what they do. They were unreliable in their initial reports. They had a total inability for the WHO to obtain virus samples. Not to mention they parroted the Chinese Communist Party's propaganda, saying that there was no need for a travel ban, and President Trump instituted a travel ban at the end of January. They caused a 20-fold increase in cases, and the WHO did not acknowledge its own mistakes. This calls for a total defunding of the WHO. And this is exactly why President Trump should defund our funding of the United Nations. That's why the United Nations is nothing more than a feel-good globalist happy hour in New York City to bash on America, bash on Western civilization, bash on energy exploration, and get the biggest dictators and tyrants a platform that they do not deserve. If you hate Israel, the UN has got a seat for you. If you hate freedom, the UN has two seats for you. If you love corruption, you could buy anything you need at the UN. These international globalist organizations have finally been challenged thanks to President Trump. And look, what's wrong with globalism? It's the death of sovereignty, and it's also anti-diversity. The left always likes to say, diversity is our strength. We love diversity. Diversity is our strength. Well, globalist organizations, by definition, destroy sovereignty. It destroys local control, and it destroys diversity. It makes When you have an organization like the UN or the World Health Organization, the most dominant corrupt force is going to get the most amount of power in these organizations. So President Trump officially halting funding to the WHO. They should never renew it. The WHO turned their back on America, and that money that we are funding to the World Health Organization, which is about $100 million a year, and again, over $3.5 billion since 2010, where that money has gone, I have no idea. That money should be reappropriated to make sure that our kids in the inner cities can read at grade level. I'm so tired of us sending our taxpayer dollars or the money that we're borrowing every single year to these international organizations that do not represent the best interests of the American people. And so that news was just breaking, but I want to dive into a little bit of a political talk today because we've been talking so much about the Chinese coronavirus. We've been talking about What If I Hated America, which has been getting great response to that episode, by the way. So go back to the previous episode, download it, give it a listen. It's a very provocative episode. It's thought-provoking. Also, we got some great response to The Rational Case for Jesus Christ, our episode with Glenn Beck. We've been diving into philosophy and intellectual approaches to these issues and these problems. I just want to get into some of the political news and what's going on right now. What is going on? Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. That's happening right in front of our very eyes. And what does all this mean? So just in the last couple days, this has been happening at a rapid pace. And if this was not, if the Chinese coronavirus was not the number one issue right now in the world by far, one of the biggest issues generationally, one of the biggest issues the last couple decades, we would all be talking about Bernie Sanders' total and complete capitulation to Joe Biden. It was one of the most weak endorsement videos I've ever seen. For someone who says he wants to start a revolution, he's now endorsing someone who doesn't even know what a revolution means. Bernie Sanders, and I'm reading off this Twitter feed of someone who I have debated before, someone who is on the very far left, and someone who I remember talking to this individual at Politicon. People say I won the debate. I think that's a pretty fair analysis. But I remember talking to this guy. He's a nice enough guy. His name is Kyle Kalinske from the Young Turks. Not exactly a fan of their propaganda machine. However, Kyle Kalinske said, I'm Bernie or bust. I talked to him at Politicon. He said, I'm only going to support Bernie Sanders. I'm only Bernie Sanders. No matter what happens, I'm only going to be Bernie Sanders. I got to give him credit. He's very dedicated to his Bolshevik worldview. I mean, he's very dedicated to his Marxism. So Kyle Kalinske, who again is a host of the Young Turks, very far left, on his Twitter feed, he boasts that he has over half a billion YouTube views, so not insignificant. And he calls himself a co-founder of the Justice Democrats. I don't know the veracity of that. But he says this, quote, as a left-winger who will not vote for Biden, I want you to know I'm 100% okay with you blaming me if Trump wins a second term. I mean it. Blame me. Then get to thinking real hard about how you're going to get me to support your candidate the next time. Maybe even ask me. I'll tell you. He continues. By the way, that tweet got 50,000 likes on Twitter. And as someone who runs, you know, a pretty big Twitter account, I could tell you that's hard to do. He continues by saying, we shouldn't be defensive about this. If they're blaming us for Trump, that's an admission that they need us to win. If they need us to win, then they need to make concessions. Own it. He continues, even the best elected left-wing leaders in the country are terrified of the media and the club hating them. Why? They should hate you. If you're actually going to succeed with any of your policy goals, they're guaranteed to hate you. Wear it as a badge of honor. He uses the F word, but he essentially says, screw them. The language, horrible. I don't know what, it's children on Twitter too. If you're a left-wing politician and the media doesn't hate you, you're doing something wrong. There is Kyle Kalinske, who was a huge Bernie Sanders supporter. 50,000 people liked it on Twitter. Again, that's Twitter. Twitter's not real life. We know that. It's not a scientific poll, but it says something. And I remember all the people that said, I'm not going to vote for Trump. I'm not going to vote for Trump. And some of those Republicans did stay home, but there was a consolidation. I could tell you right now, though, the big difference between Donald Trump and the quote-unquote Never Trump movement that never materialized and the Never Biden movement is that Trump represented the energy of the party. He represented the spirit. Joe Biden does not represent the spirit of the party. He's like a life insurance policy. It's like the absolutely, what else do we got? We'll just cash it in. It's the total safe pick. Joe Biden did not win the nomination. Joe Biden just happened to be standing around when it came to South Carolina, and all of a sudden everyone realized that, well, we got to beat Donald Trump. Who else we got? Oh, Joe Biden doesn't know what state he's in, doesn't know his sister from his wife. He doesn't know what president he served with. He doesn't know what day it is. He doesn't know he's talking to. He calls people lying dog-faced pony soldiers. He says weird things all the time. His son sold us out to the Chinese, also sold us out to Ukraine. The whole impeachment thing is basically because of Joe Biden. But besides all that, he's great because he's been around there for a while. Not exactly a convincing case to go back to the American people. In fact, I think that it is a blessing to run up against Joe Biden. I make the argument that it's actually better and easier to run up against Joe Biden than Bernie Sanders. People think I'm absolutely off the wall about this, but I would much Kyle Kulinski proved something I said on this podcast multiple times before, and I said this before. I said this at the Nixon Library. I said this during my book tour. I said this on multiple interviews. I said, what do you think is more likely, that Bernie Sanders supporters are not going to vote for Joe Biden, or Joe Biden supporters wouldn't vote for Bernie Sanders? Far more likely that more Bernie people would not vote for Joe Biden, because the Bernie people think of themselves as insurgents within the party that they're trying to infiltrate. Joe Biden people consider themselves in a party trying to push out the insurgents. They don't want to go vote for an insurgent, but the insurgents potentially will not vote for the establishment. So it looks like it's Biden versus Trump. And I don't say this jokingly. I don't try to make fun of people's cognitive issues. I don't try to draw humor upon anyone that might be having a struggle with memory loss. But Joe Biden has some serious problems articulating coherent sentences. How they're going to be able to get past the fact that he can't talk is a very... I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. And so I was just watching on one of the computers here at Turning Point USA. Someone pulled up the Joe Biden live stream event that he's having on Facebook. Not very many people watching at all. And there were about 450 comments. And I flipped through. I would say 448 out of 450 were negative. I consider it a blessing to run up against Joe Biden. I mean, I would rather run up against confused and corrupt than authentic and free stuff, especially when we're in the midst of a recession. You know when people really want socialism? When you're in the midst of economic crisis. So the fact that we get to run up against someone who literally brokered and bartered business with the people who put this recession upon us, the Chinese, should be considered a political gift from God. Now, in the last couple weeks, again, we've been so distracted with death rates and models and medical experts that are misleading us and supply chains falling apart. We've been so focused on all that, rightfully so. And so in the midst of all this chaos and all this crisis, it has now been resurfaced. And this came out in April 2019. I was just telling our producer show, our producer team here does an excellent job. This came out in 2019. I can't believe this came out in 2019. Tara Reid, who worked for Joe Biden, said that in 1993, interestingly, the year that I was born, she said that when she was in her mid-20s, Biden, then a senator from Delaware, touched her several times, making her feel uncomfortable. Reid said her responsibilities in the Senate office were reduced after she refused to serve drinks at an event. She said it because Biden had a desire because he liked her legs. At least he didn't try to smell her hair. We'll get back to the smelling hair accusations in a second with the other woman that accused Joe Biden. These allegations have resulted in Reid being attacked in a variety of different ways, and we'll get into that in just a second. But look, I actually am consistent. I think Joe Biden should be innocent until proven guilty. I want this to be proven. I want this to be investigated. I think Joe Biden should be considered an innocent man, just like I thought Brett Kavanaugh should be considered an innocent man. However, the left, they are so deceitful. They are so double standard. They're so unbelievably hypocritical. I mean, the left went all in to try to destroy a Supreme Court pick in the fall of 2018 against Brett Kavanaugh. They went back to baseless, made up, fairy tale style accusations that Brett Kavanaugh somehow sexually assaulted Christine Blasey Ford. And one day the justice will come out against that. There were people that were fabricating entire narratives against Justice Brett Kavanaugh that never even met him at all whatsoever. So Tara Reid might be lying. She might be telling the truth. We do know that there is minutes and minutes of footage of Joe Biden touching young women. Young. I'm talking about like 5 and 6 years old. If you don't believe me, go into YouTube. And again, this is an audio-driven program, but type in Joe Biden touches girls. Very creepy. If there were videos of Donald Trump doing this, the media would have been running it like an infomercial nonstop and still to this day. Something's not right there. It's not. And so maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, but I'm going to give him the due process that Democrats don't even deserve. I'm going to give Joe Biden the due process that he didn't give Clarence Thomas in the 1990s when he was leading the witch hunt with that liar Anita Hill against the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, an honorable man, a black conservative Supreme Court justice that they never gave him. So Tara Reid has now become come under attack for an old Medium piece that she had where she was praising Russia and Vladimir Putin. Again, maybe she's a Russian agent and she's trying to cause problems. Again, I don't know. I'm not that invested in whether she's telling the truth or not. I don't want to say it's irrelevant because if he did it, it's not good. But for me, We already have plenty of footage of him being creepy to other women. He doesn't know what state he's in. He doesn't know what president he's served with. And his son sold this out to the Chinese and the Ukrainians. But it should matter to Democrats. That's why I'm focusing on this. Because if you want to see how deceitful and how double standard and hypocritical the left is, this is Exhibit A. And we'll get to Alyssa Milano in just 1 second. But first, with currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be horribly wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, as they bring the Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has daily live Madden NFL 20 simulations you can wager on. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. I didn't know that. Speaking of competitive eating, make sure you tune in at the end of this podcast for Rob Cesterino's exclusive interview with Major League eating superstar Joey Chestnut. That guy can eat hot dogs like it is unbelievable. The hot dogs he can eat, incredible. And BetOnline's Dave Mason about the big BetOnline quarantine challenge this weekend. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account right now. Make sure you use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And so, former White House ethics lawyer and media personality Richard Painter, he said, "Read this love fest for Putin by Alexandra Tara Reid." Is it the same person who made an accusation against Joe Biden? If so, game's up. Again, people who write affectionist poetry to Russians are usually called Bernie Sanders supporters or Bernie Sanders. So it doesn't do anything for me. I mean, whether she's paid by the Kremlin or not, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's lying or telling the truth. I don't think it's a good thing. I think we should be tough on Russia. I'm not making opinion either way. I think it's completely unrelated. The fact they're trying to invalidate her because she's writing love letters, Ernest Hemingway style, to Vladimir Putin, I don't think that has anything to do with whether or not Joe Biden touched her inappropriately in the mid-1990s. It's a red herring argument, and the left knows that. Now, you might remember that Lucy Flores, back in the primary, she was a former candidate for Lieutenant Governor of Nevada, she said something very similar. She said, "Why is the Vice President of the United States touching me?" when she was remembering back to when she said she felt two shoulders on her back, and it was very inappropriate, and she said the following: "I felt him get closer to me from behind. He leaned further in and inhaled my hair. I was mortified. I thought to myself, quote, I didn't wash my hair today, and the Vice President of the United States is smelling it? Also, what in the actual, what is the Vice President of the United States smelling my hair?" End quote. Then she says he proceeded to plant a big, slow kiss on the back of my head. My brain couldn't process what was happening. I was embarrassed. I was shocked. I was confused. Again, I don't know if she's telling the truth. Maybe she's hallucinating. Maybe she's a pathological liar. Maybe she's a schizophrenic. I don't know. That's not up for me to determine. It should be investigated. I don't believe that you should believe all women, believe all men. I believe you should believe facts. So now that you have two people independently saying something that are somewhat credible people, by the way, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But where are the Democrats? When Brett Kavanaugh was under attack, when conservative after conservative was after attack for these baseless style accusations. For example, there are plenty of conservatives that lost their careers where there was evidence on one side and evidence on the other side. In media, in politics, I'm not going to say any names, but you guys know plenty of them. But also, there's credible evidence against Keith Ellison, who despite the fact that his girlfriend called 911 on him for beating her, became Attorney General of the state of Minnesota. Al Franken, if this is the new standard, you should be very regretful that you're no longer a senator from Minnesota. By the way, you're welcome, Al Franken. We're beating you in the podcast charts today, and you guys can help us continue to beat Al Franken in the podcast charts. So what's been amazing to see, though, is the infantry and the cavalry of the radical left come in and defend this confused, corrupt, quasi-Chinese agent, Joe Biden, who is under these accusations. I thought Me Too was the base and the breath of the Democrat Party. I thought this was how they're going to go after Donald Trump. Now, this conveniently invalidates every single one of the attacks that they were going to use against Donald Trump, trying to say, oh, he's done all these horrible things to women, of which they're false. They're not true. And a lot of them have been proven to be not true. But now, at their convention, which might be in some sort of weird Facebook Live online convention or whatever sort of gathering that they have, when they bring up their far left-wing activists, when they bring up Cecile Richards, used to run Planned Parenthood, when they bring up Elizabeth Warren or Senator Harris, who now has endorsed Joe Biden, they can no longer say, me too, believe all women. That whole spirit, that whole base of their party is gone. So now Tara Reid came back after her accusation in April 2019 that I didn't even hear. She came back and resurfaced and reinforced her accusations. And so you might remember this total hack, low quality actress. She's an awful actress. She's not funny. She's not anything that I would consider to be what you should aspire for. She's a hack. She's disingenuous. She's nasty. She's awful. Her name is Alyssa Milano. And I have a special place to go after her because I had to look at her smug face 3 rows back when that innocent man, Justice Kavanaugh, was being put on that charade by Christie Blasey Ford. Alyssa Milano was in the room. She was leading the Me Too movement. She used to say, believe survivors, believe all women. You might remember in 2018, Milano, who again is a washed up third-rate actress. And I don't just say that. I mean, I've watched some of her stuff. Just, I was like, she must have had some good acting stuff. I don't know who made her famous. I don't know if someone just gave her a certificate that said all of a sudden you're important. She's an absolute total disgrace because she made her whole life around becoming the face of the movement that brought down Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey. And the height of her activism was Brett Kavanaugh. She was leading the irrational mob. She tweeted back during the Kavanaugh allegations, you can't pretend to be the party of the American people and then not support a woman who comes forward with her hashtag MeToo story. Then earlier this year, she was considering backing Andrew Yang when she pulled out of a fundraiser when she cited sexual assault allegations against an aide for Yang. An aide, someone who worked for Andrew Yang. It was probably just some random person who was working for the campaign. But now the message of Me Too is this. Accusations don't matter to the virtue signaling left as long as they're leveled against someone they support, like Joe Biden. So then Alyssa Milano comes out and she endorses Joe Biden and says that she'll continue endorsing Joe Biden by saying the following. I explain my silence on the allegations against Joe Biden in this clip. I'm still endorsing Joe Biden. Listen to this clip to find out why. She was thrown down by Rose McGowan, who actually, by the way, Rose McGowan is perfectly consistent. Rose McGowan does not care about facts. She does not care about analytical evidence. She does not care about due process. Rose McGowan only cares about if you have XX chromosomes and you say something is true, therefore it must be true. Alyssa Milano used to say that, and now Alyssa Milano, all she cares about is whether or not that you have XY or XX chromosomes, she only cares about if you have a D in front of your political affiliation. That's all she cares about. Democrat, there's no way a Democrat could possibly be accused of something like this, but for Donald Trump, he's accused of all these horrible things. She continues by saying, and this is this is either red pilling of Alyssa Milano, or of course it's not, or more practically, it is the absolute expose of one of the biggest frauds in the history of American politics. She continues to reply to her tweet by saying the following: there's something to the idea that people are going to weaponize Me Too for political gain. Just look at the replies here. Look to see who those accounts are supporting in the primary. There always needs to be a thorough vetting of accusations. Oh, really? A thorough vetting of accusations? Like the accusations against the innocent man, Justice Brett Kavanaugh, whose life you wanted to destroy, whose life you wanted to take down, whose kids were drugged through the mud, whose family was discredited, whose entire life was uprooted, and those accusations still follow him to this day. The Democrats still wanted to impeach Brett Kavanaugh up to 9 months ago because of you, you mob ringleader. And now you're acting as if you're, well, I'm very big into due process and thorough vetting of accusations. Again, I don't know if Joe Biden did it or it's immaterial to me. I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. Joe Biden lost my vote basically the day I was born. Okay. So I'm not exactly a swing voter for Joe Biden. However, it is so important to remember because why is Alyssa Milano doing this? It's because she lacks something that is so important. Shame. She has no shame. In order to have shame, you must have some form of humility. You must be able to look at yourself and say, probably shouldn't turn my back on that. Truth is not a left-wing value. For them, the ends justify the means. For Alyssa Milano, she doesn't care about the survivors. Alyssa Milano really cared about women, which she doesn't. Alyssa Milano does not care about women. She would be marching in the streets next to Keith Ellison's accuser. If Alyssa Milano cared about women, she would have Juanita Broderick next to her talking about the rape that Bill Clinton allegedly committed against Juanita Broderick or Paula Jones or Kathleen Wiley or all the women that Bill Clinton was a predator against. But no, we must believe all women. You know who Joe Biden is good buddies with? Bill Clinton. It's all the same Democrat community, Alyssa Milano. And all of a sudden, I'm going to lead this new Democrat revolution. You are allowing your pathological hatred of Donald Trump to make you look so unbelievably foolish. Please continue, by the way, because this is a great way to make sure that we win the youth vote. Because for the young women on campus that mean well, but they're so unbelievably confused because they've been propagandized by their professors. We see this all the time at Turning Point USA. And these young women that have had friends that have been sexually assaulted or they have been sexually mistreated, which is an inexcusable thing for any person to do, a man or a woman ever to do. And they feel that pain, and that pain has been weaponized by the mob left. They mean really well. And they looked up to Alyssa Milano and they say, wow, she's great. She stands by me. If any one of you vote for Joe Biden after this, you have no credibility. It's not even a matter of credibility. You're just a fraud. And that's why actually I have respect for the Marxist Kyle Kulinski, who says he's not voting for Biden. At least he votes his values. I agree with it. I think it's actually quite admirable. Rose McGowan, you are a very committed advocate for no matter what someone with XX chromosomes says, they must be right. We here at the Charlie Kirk Show, we don't believe women. We don't believe men. We believe evidence and facts. What a concept. And you might remember that CNN, ABC, MSNBC, they've not made a single mention of the allegation against Joe Biden. And if you remember back in the point of the Kavanaugh saga, they covered the story probably 100 times at least. The Washington Post is the first one to cover the Christine Blasey Ford accusation. Remember, Ford coordinated with Senator Dianne Feinstein's office. Senator Dianne Feinstein, of course, had the Chinese agent driver for a long time. And Senator Dianne Feinstein is under accusations now for doing some very borderline unethical, if not illegal, trading. Dianne Feinstein is one of the most morally reprehensible individuals in the entire United States Senate. They worked through her to get to the Washington Post. But remember, Christine Blasey Ford never spoke about the allegations against Kavanaugh at all for 35 years. And then all of a sudden it comes out of nowhere. The Washington Post interviewed Tara Reid last year, but they didn't publish a report on the accusations until Monday. When you read their story, it doesn't read like a journalist looking to dig for truth. It just reads kind of like a half-written passerby local news story. They spent half their story writing about President Trump. Why is this? Why is the left activist media believe this? Because they're so Machiavellian. They don't have values. They don't have morals. They don't care about any of that. These people are driven so firmly by the advancement of Marxist socialist ideas, they will do whatever it takes to implement them. They don't care about truth. Truth is not a left-wing value. Remember that. The left does not care about truth. Now, of course, then the New York Times stepped up to the plate. Where have you been? With a super bizarre, now deleted tweet. They said, quote, "No other allegation about sexual assault surfaced in the course of our reporting, nor did any former Biden staffer corroborate Reid's allegations. We found no pattern of sexual misconduct by Biden beyond hugs, kisses, and touching that women previously said made them uncomfortable." Is that not sexual misconduct? Isn't that the definition of sexual misconduct? My goodness. Then the executive editor of the Times came out publicly and said this. The media is so bankrupt and corrupt. Please wake up, everybody. The media hates you. If you believe in conservatism, they want to destroy you. They're so dishonest. This is what they said. Well, Kavanaugh was already in a public forum in a large way. And Joe Biden isn't? Kavanaugh's status as a Supreme Court justice was in question because of a very serious allegation. When I say in a public way, I don't mean in a public way of Tara Reid's. If you ask an average person in America, they didn't know about the Tara Reid case. I wonder why that could be. Maybe it's because you didn't cover it. The biggest newspaper in the country, the New York Times, maybe didn't cover it. The New York Times can get on any television station they want to at any time. Maybe that's why. It's because they didn't cover it. Let's just do a real quick recap on some of the Democrat privilege. Again, I don't know if these accusations are true or not. I don't know if these people are totally awful. Some of them I know verifiably they are, like John F. Kennedy and Bill Clinton. But I believe everyone should be innocent until proven guilty. Again, this doesn't bother me as much as it bothered Liz Milano, but it shows you the moral bankruptcy of the left. JFK, he was a serial cheater on his wife. We know that. He slept with staffers and interns. It was Playboy Mansion on Pennsylvania Avenue. Ted Kennedy, of course, he drunkenly drove a car off the bridge in Chappaquiddick, left his female passenger in the car to drown. Some would say that he left her to die, which would be murder. I would be in that camp. He's a very, very bad guy. Assaulted a waitress in 1985 along with another Democrat staffer. Was never held accountable. He's still regarded highly as the lion of the Senate to this day. And great friends of Joe Biden. Kudos to Rush Limbaugh, who, quite honestly, Rush Limbaugh carried more weight against Ted Kennedy for years than anyone else. God bless him for doing that. Barney Frank, Barney Frank, everybody, Barney Frank, you know, Barney Frank's really great. He had an affair with a younger gay escort and used his, he was really great, to get his lover out of 33 parking tickets, still regularly regarded as a prolific member of Congress, given a platform on mainstream media channels all the time, also single-handedly destroyed the American banking system. Bill Clinton, despite selling out our country to other foreign countries through the Clinton Climate Foundation, and also, I don't know, being a frequent visitor on the Lolita Express with Jeffrey Epstein, who we now know was a child sex trafficker in both New Mexico and a private island in the Caribbean, was also credibly accused by Paula Jones, Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, and so many others, not to mention Monica Lewinsky. We did impeach him over that because he lied under oath, but still, he still gets treated like this wonderful hero. He'll probably speak at the Democrat 2020 convention of whatever sort of they have. That's just another example of Bill Clinton. Probably, under many accusations, he was involved in some very, very shady things. Best buddy is Jeffrey Epstein. Lots of pictures, lots of evidence of that. But again, innocent until proven guilty. We remain consistent. John Edwards. He used $1 million in his campaign fund to cover up his extramarital affair. He went on cheating his wife while she was dying of cancer. Great guy. Supreme morals. Keith Ellison. Terrific. Talked about him. Former co-chair of the DNC and current attorney general in Minnesota. Has been credibly accused of beating his girlfriend. 911 tapes to corroborate her claims. Of course, now he is attorney general. I'm sure he got that covered up pretty quick in the state of Minnesota. Can't forget Anthony Weiner. He was charged in 2017 for sexting a minor. This is after he was caught sending obscene photos to another woman in 2011. Thank you. God bless you, Andrew Breitbart. I can make an argument that Andrew Breitbart from the grave actually helped Donald Trump win in 2016 because of Anthony Weiner. You guys ready for this? Couple days before the election, James Comey comes out with a surprise announcement that some say swayed a lot of the political narrative. When James Comey came out and said that there's still an investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails, whose emails? Huma Abedin. Who is Huma Abedin? The special assistant to Hillary Clinton. Who is Huma Abedin married to? Anthony Weiner. Where did they find these extra emails? Well, they found it in a huge data trove when they confiscated all of Anthony Weiner's materials when they arrested him and went through his apartment in 2016, all because of Andrew Breitbart's original report back in 2011 when he exposed Anthony Weiner to be a total creep and a total fraud. John Conyers, who sexually assaulted a woman, paid her $27,000 in public funds to settle the case, threatened the other women to stop them from speaking out. The media claims he was railroaded by the Me Too movement. Can't forget Katie Hill, who was engaged in a throuple relationship with a campaign staffer, having an affair with a congressional staffer, resigned in shame before an investigation could commence. She was lauded as a shining star. Again, I'm not one to say whether or not she should be having polygamous relationships. I don't approve of that religiously, theologically, morally at all. The biggest issue with me with her was the fact that she was with a campaign staffer. Now, she's portrayed as a victim. Of course, this is what always happens to anyone on the left. Left does something horrible. So left goes and they rob a bank or whatever. Then out of nowhere, a couple days later, after the right-wing media starts covering it, quote-unquote right-wing media, and the Charlie Kirk Show and many others start covering it, all of a sudden, she starts playing victim, says she feels unsafe, hires security, goes into hiding. A couple days later, a couple weeks later, a couple months later, The Atlantic or some other left-wing publication says, Katie Hill, a victim of right-wing propaganda and provocateur, rises from the ashes to lead a movement back in... Yeah, okay, great. We've all seen that before. They tried to do that against Anthony Weiner, by the way. You forget back to Anthony Weiner. After he did the whole 2011 resignation, he ran for mayor and was a front-runner for mayor against Bill de Blasio. People forget about this. And then more accusations came out. So, Katie Hill, again, I'm not exactly a believer in polygamous relationships at all. I think it's immoral and wrong. But the big reason that she should resign and that she shouldn't be treated as a victim, but she should be treated as a total awful person, is she broke the Congressional Code of Ethics and she did it with a staffer and lied about it. Of course, Joe Biden, a long documented history of making women feel uncomfortable at the very least, kissing, groping, grabbing, sniffing, and saying off-color things to them, is now, of course, credibly accused of sexual assault by a former staffer. Again, all these people I consider innocent until proven guilty. However, the left, if these accusations, instead of Katie Hill, John Conyers, Anthony Weiner, Keith Ellison, John Edwards, Bill Clinton, Barney Frank, let me fill in some names for you that you would recognize. Bill O'Reilly, Roger Ailes. How about those names? I mean, innocent until proven guilty, right? There's been a lot of question about some of these accusations thrown at people like Roger, thrown at people like Bill O'Reilly. However, if you look at this list of Democrats, they get away with it because they own the media, because they're Machiavellian. If you understand the left, Machiavelli wrote The Prince. We can do a whole podcast at a different time. And you have to understand that friends also corroborate the accusations against Joe Biden. Christine Blasey Ford's best friends refuse to corroborate any of the stories against Brett Kavanaugh. People are not stupid. I actually think people are smarter than we give them credit for. They will see through this. Even Glenn Greenwald had a great tweet, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, do people actually expect us to believe that they won't remember what they did to Brett Kavanaugh for weeks and months, and they're just letting Joe Biden have a complete and total pass to this? So Joe Biden, get ready, because you are going to lose part of your base over this whole thing. You're losing people like Kyle Kulinski, who want a much quicker death to America. You're losing people like him. You're also going to lose some of the Me Too activists. Alyssa Milano, I don't think she brings much following to her. If you kind of look at her Twitter engagement, her social media engagement, she got ratioed off the sky when she tried to come to Joe Biden's defense. By the way, social interaction, social media interaction, and social velocity can be a very helpful indicator of what actually happens in the ballot box. Watch out, Joe Biden. We are going to beat you come November, and Donald Trump is going to run circles around you if you even know what shape a circle is. So let's transition to someone who's actually the leading candidate to become the vice president nominee for the confused, corrupt, quasi-Chinese agent Joe Biden, who, by the way, is also unbelievably racist in his past sayings. He calls black people super predators, authored the Clinton crime bill, said you cannot walk into a 7-Eleven without having a slight Indian accent. All sorts of wonderful oppo research. Joe Biden, I just can't wait to run against you. It's beginning once this crisis clears and America's revival comes. We are coming after you in a way that you cannot imagine. By we, I mean the Charlie Kirk Show and the conservative movement, not Turning Point USA, which remains a 501c3 nonprofit that does not endorse or condone any sort of political activity. But Gretchen Whitmer, I mean, this woman would have made a wonderful 20th century dictator. I mean, she was just carbon cut to run one of the Eastern Bloc Soviet states, maybe as like a pseudo governor under Stalin or Lenin. I mean, she's a tyrant. And just the way she talks on TV, I get chills. I get like goosebumps. I say, my goodness, if she had the authority, this would just be the beginning. So she banned all gatherings of any size, anywhere, for any purpose, even in a person's private home, which is, this is so extra constitutional to me. It's bizarre that she hasn't been sued under a declaratory judgment. Many Michigan residents own a cabin in the UP, the Upper Peninsula, for example. They aren't allowed to go to that. But if you're from outside of Michigan and you own a vacation home, you can come to use it. So yeah, come here and be unfree. Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I'm from the Midwest, by the way. You know that there are thousands of people protesting her all throughout Lansing. Good. This woman is an out-of-control tyrant. It's the direction the left wants to come. Someone that I don't see eye to eye with on everything nowadays, but someone who I consider to be so smart, Jonah Goldberg, wrote a book called Liberal Fascism, one of the most important political books of the last couple decades, when he wrote about how the left will use their force, will use the power that they have towards fascist aims and goals as soon as they have it. He predicted all of this beautifully and wonderfully in the book Liberal Fascism. You have to realize that Gretchen, she closed most stores. She closed specific areas of the store, including carpet or flooring, furniture, garden centers, plants and nurseries, and paint. I mean, we've seen pictures online. We talked about this in a previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, where she said that show American flags for sale only be taped off to save the residents of Michigan. I mean, thank goodness she's protecting all of us in the middle of the winter from the patriotic gardeners in Michigan. Look, to be clear, Whitmer doesn't care about Michigan. By the way, this is a great way to make sure Donald Trump might actually win the state of Michigan, you tyrant. Thank you for giving Donald Trump a gift to actually win Michigan, a state that he's going to have to battle for. And by the way, she thinks by hating Trump and defying Trump, she's going to become like the anti-Trump hero. Good luck. If this is your way to the vice presidency, you're going to make Bloomberg look like a civil libertarian with what you're doing, okay? I mean, you're going to make Mike Bloomberg look like Judge Napolitano, okay? I mean, what you're talking about here is we're going to ban motorboats. Or no, my favorite is that you can't go to other people's homes. George Orwell would have wrote a book about you. I think there's a chapter dedicated to you in 1984, just called Gretchen, My Gretchen, Please Spy on Me. And by the way, no matter what Trump does, she has to do the opposite. We now have evidence that hydroxychloroquine is saving lives. A doctor came out today. He said that 39 people's lives were saved in one nursing home because of hydroxychloroquine. Tom Siegel, Dr. Tom Siegel on Fox News, his father's life was saved, 96 years old, by hydroxychloroquine. Yet she banned that drug. She temporarily banned the drug in Michigan because she doesn't care about the people of Michigan. Because for her, she wants to keep the crisis going. There is no, I'm not giving her the benefit of the doubt. I'm not. People say, well, we got to give the Democrats the benefit of the doubt. Stop it. We don't do that anymore on the Charlie Kirk Show. We don't do that. Certain Democrats like Joe Manchin, fine, okay? He's like a 1950s Democrat, okay? The Democrats today do not mean well at all. The Democrats today are a new age, Marxist, anti-American, power-hungry, fascist group of leaders. Why on earth would you ban hydroxychloroquine? What is the rational answer? And I know what they'll say. Well, people are misusing it, and you know we have to be able to go through the FDA trials. We know the side effects, off-label use. Talk to a doctor. If you're dying, use it. And look, as I always say on the Charlie Kirk Show, there's a difference between a leftist and a liberal, okay? A leftist wants the bitter and total demise of America. But I'll be honest, I'm willing to indict the Democrat Party because where has been the cacophony of response to Gretchen Whitmer? Where have been the Democrats that have said this is too far? Maybe you shouldn't ban hydroxychloroquine. Maybe you shouldn't ban people going from home to home. Maybe you shouldn't ban private gatherings of families within the home. Where's Chuck Schumer? Where's Nancy Pelosi? Where's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Where's Ilhan Omar? Where's Rashida Tlaib? They support this. Whenever they see government get bigger, they lick their chops because they know they get more important. I kid you not, this is not a joke. We're going to play the tape of this. She told the Michigan residents that her Orwellian orders didn't really affect them because, get ready for it, there was snow on the ground.
So we just had snow. I've got snow on the ground here in Michigan right now in Lansing. We're expecting, you know, up to 30 inches in the Upper Peninsula. The fact that we're cracking down on people traveling between homes or planting or landscaping or golfing really for a couple more weeks isn't going to meaningfully impact people's ability to do it because the snow will do that in and of itself.
Now, the citizens of Michigan are rising up. I just mentioned this, but there's a petition to initiate a recall of the governor. It's approaching 250,000 signatures and more being added. A recall is very rare. Governor Scott Walker survived the recall. I'd love to see her get recalled. Oh, my goodness. It'd be amazing. They're protesting outside of the state house. She's a total failure. And her tyranny of Michigan must be challenged. She should be ashamed. She should be voted out of office and taken out immediately. And she is feeling the heat, everybody. Cars are backed up in Lansing. Just continue to peacefully pressure her. Because when tyranny rears its ugly head in America, it must be pushed back. And, I mean, Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo didn't even go this far. I mean, this is a whole new level of power grabbing. Are you worried that someone might be looking at your texts and emails? Well, they probably are. That is, unless you have ExpressVPN. I know a lot of you are stuck at home. You're spending a lot of time on your mobile devices and your computers. But I'll tell you, there's only one way to make sure that the Chinese government, hackers, and people that wish you harm are not looking in on your thoughts, your emails, and you're totally secure. So you use what I use. Right now, my phone, I just look at it right now. I see, it's a great sense of comfort. Those three letters, VPN. You know what VPN means for me? Safety, comfort, security. And the Chinese are confused. So here's what you got to do. You got to go to expressvpn.com/Charlie. You don't want to get hacked. You don't want to lose your sensitive information, credit card details, personal info, text messages, Instagram messages, emails. You got to lock it down. It's not a lot of money. It's expressvpn.com/Charlie. It's the only VPN I use and I trust. You can get an extra 3 months free for expressvpn.com/Charlie. You can support the show. Watch what you want. Protect yourself with ExpressVPN. There are snoopers. There are hackers. There are governments trying to get on your phone right now. They know you're sitting at home. They know that you're on your computer. They know you're on your phone, then on your iPad. You are exposed. It's as if you had a bank full of money with the door wide open. Lock it up. Stay secure. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. On the previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, I talked about the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. I want to end the show talking about the constitutional case for businesses to recoup their losses in the time of a national crisis. So a lot of you are familiar with the First Amendment. Some of you are familiar, obviously, with the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Some of you with the Fourth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment. A lot of people aren't actually familiar with the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. This is the last clause of the Fifth Amendment, which is called the Takings Clause. Basically, it found its genesis in Section 39 of the Magna Carta. We'll do a whole history in a different podcast where we talk about how the Magna Carta was one of the most foundational documents in Western history, that was kind of the gateway to the founding of America. But in the Section 39 of the Magna Carta, it declared that land would not be taken without some form of due process. John Locke, awesome, we talk about him a lot, who was an Enlightenment thinker, a philosopher who totally inspired the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, private property, laws of nature, nature's God, all John Locke. His view was that sovereignty did not reside in the state, but rather in the people who had the right to overthrow the government. We love John Locke here on the Charlie Kirk Show. If you love freedom of speech, freedom of expression, private property, you also love John Locke. So John Locke, along with British common law and, of course, the Bible, informed the drafting of the Declaration of Independence and, of course, the United States Constitution. So the Takings Clause was in the original draft of the Constitution, Fifth Amendment, and it limits the power of eminent domain, really important, by requiring just compensation be paid if private property is taken for public use. So it's only used to apply to the federal government, but now it applies to the states. Chicago versus the BQ Railroad in the late 1800s stated that it also roped in the 14th Amendment, extended the effects, the provisions to the states. Here's the full text. It says, quote, "Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation." So just like everything else controversial in the Constitution, the courts have been arguing with the Takings Clause for years. The federal courts have shown much deference to the determinations of Congress and even more so to the determinations of state legislators of what constitutes public use. Super quick, just like a little history note, in 2005, the Supreme Court issued an opinion, Kelo versus the City of New London, if my memory serves me correctly, that the government could even seize privately owned land for private commercial development on behalf of private developers. Maybe the government claims that it's to increase the tax base for the local economy. This is upheld 5-4, and it remains controversial. So, look, here's what's happening, though, is if you tell a government, if you tell an industry, you got to shut down, you cannot open, it's against the law, how is that not a violation of the Takings Clause? How is that not an imposition of eminent domain? And especially industries that are so reliant on foot traffic, especially, let's just use a very basic example, the ski slopes in Aspen, Colorado. They are so reliant on ski traffic. There is no ski traffic. There's no alternative business. There are shop after shop after shop that have closed up. They're done for the season. They are destroyed. They're destroyed. Months and months of revenue, zeros across the line, workers totally furloughed. There's no at-home delivery they can do. These are ski shops. These are ski repair shops. These are ski lift operators. You name it. I mean, all the businesses and all the restaurants and all the coffee shops, there's nothing they could do to try to adapt. By a government edict, by the city of Aspen, by the state of Colorado, and the federal government shutting them down. What is going to prevent them under the Constitution to sue for reimbursements of minimum-based revenue or at least expense reimbursements for the time that they were forced to shut down? No different if the government came down and said, we are going to build a highway, a railroad, or a tower, a cell tower right here. We will give you just compensation. I think constitutionally it totally stands up. Glenn Beck, Mark Levin totally agree with me. Constitutional attorneys across the country agree with me. We've never seen a shutdown for so long that has been so widespread against so many different businesses where it's not like they're just coming in there saying, hey, you got to shut down for a couple days because we're trying to do a government-sponsored parade or we have a big funeral. This is not one-day thing. This is a total complete shutdown of entire industries that are the backbone of the American economy. And I think that this is going to create a whole new cottage industry for lawyers. I think that there's going to be lawyers that are going to be for decades around specializing in lawsuits around COVID and the Chinese coronavirus. Now, in my personal opinion, I think that we should lift the restrictions on suing sovereign states so that people in these businesses can be class action lawsuits against China, the Chinese Communist Party, and go after the amount of money that they have extracted from the industrial base and from the backbone of the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world, the United States of America. So there'll be a lot to be seen around the Fifth Amendment and how that gets applied. So Joe Biden's the nominee. It's actually been fun getting back into the political mix of it. We have an AMA coming tomorrow and Ask Me Anything. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Chip in some money. Maybe attend an event that's coming up in a little bit down the road. start a chapter, get engaged, get involved. That's tpusa.com, tpusa.com. And thank you guys so much for listening. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. That goes straight to me. We read all the emails. Make your subject lines creative and funny, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We've got an Ask Me Anything coming up tomorrow. God bless you and God bless America.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Cesternino from Rob Has a Podcast here on Podcast One. Normally, I talk about things like Survivor and Big Brother on Rob Has a Podcast, but today I am going to talk about something that's going on with Major League Eating, that there is going to be a big Bet Online Quarantine Challenge, which is coming together in the next couple of days. And I'm here with Dave Mason from Bet Online and competitive eater Eric Badlands Booker. Dave, can you tell us a little bit about how BetOnline has partnered with Major League Eating for this quarantine challenge?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody's locked in their houses eating food. I know I'm eating my fair share right now, so we thought it'd be a perfect match to bring all our players a great competition. You know, bring eight of the best athletes, best eaters on planet Earth all together. Our quarantine challenge is going to consist of four rounds. Friday night will be round one, where all eight competitors will be eating 2 pounds of sliced bologna. That will determine the rankings. And for the Sunday's quarterfinal, which is round two, where they'll be eating a family-sized tray of Oreos, about 48 Oreos and a half gallon of whole milk. From there, we'll go on to the semifinals, which is next Tuesday, the 21st of April. That's round three. 1.5 gallon of baked beans will be consumed by the four competitors. And then on the Wednesday, next Wednesday, is the championship. Round four, 10 ramen cup of noodles. So we have the betting lines all set for all these guys. Joey Chestnut, everybody knows Joey Chestnut. He's a plus 100 favorite. The 12-time winner of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition. Matt Stoney's right behind him at plus 400. Darren Breeden plus 500. My man Eric Badlands Booker is 20-1. So a $10 bet on him would net a $200 profit if Badlands has his hand raised next Wednesday night.
Okay, so we are fortunate enough to have Eric Badlands Booker here with us. Badlands, how are you preparing for the quarantine challenge?
Well, I'm just, you know, using my years of experience, you know, eating several foods, you know, saying, staying hungry, staying focused, you know, getting my ingestion engine prepped, you know, getting my, you know, incisors, my canines and my molars ready to grind through this food, you know, saying, you know, and just, you know, just, you know, doing the four tenets of competitive eating, you know, getting my stomach capacity up, getting my strategies, getting my stamina, you know, saying I'm running in place and doing, you know, jump rope and all that, and just getting my mind focused. You know, I'm trying to, you know, mind meld with the foods, you know, saying like, you know, like I'm Mr. Spock in Star Trek. So ready to go.
Yeah. Badlands, can you tell all of the people on Bet Online why they should be putting their money on you?
Oh yeah, because you know I have plus 20 years experience in competitive eating, and you know Badlands is the baddest man on the planet. Okay, he's the one that's always hungry and focused when it comes to the table. You know, saying, you know, your best bet is Badlands Booker. You know, saying, and it's like, I mean, who else you going to bet on? Okay, but the big man, the bad man, Eric Badlands Booker. Enough said.
All right. Dave, I'm convinced.
Yeah, of course, man. Always take the long shot. I'm not going to be putting my money on Booker. Like he says, experience, that counts for a lot in this game. And it's going to be, you know, four different contests. So usually these guys do one contest and they're done. But, you know, experience has to come into play when they're doing all four different contests within such a short period of time. And just to let everybody know, they can watch these on Major League Eating's YouTube channel. So once again, that's Friday night at 7, Sunday night at 7, Tuesday night at 7, and Wednesday night at 7. So that's four nights of entertainment while we're all cooped up in our house.
And until the tournament starts, is there anything else going on Bet Online, Dave?
Oh, there's always stuff going on. You know, we had the full action, the casino and the poker room. They're setting record numbers over there as everybody's sitting in their house looking for some action. We got these sports sims that are popular. Ping pong, Russian ping pong's huge right now. So we got all sorts of good sports still going on. But without a doubt, this quarantine eating challenge, this is going to be the highlight of the week and the week to come. And that'll be nice segue into next week's NFL draft. So we're keeping busy here at Bet Online.
All right. So follow the tournament over on MajorLeagueEating.com. And of course, you can check out everything that's going on for the Major League Eating tournament and much more over at BetOnline.ag. And Badlands, I understand that you are also going to be taking on a couple of the other competitive eaters, Matt Stoney, Joey Chestnut, in a live stream poker tournament as well, the night before the tournament that people can watch and hear you guys talk about stuff. Are you ready for the poker tournament?
Yeah, I'm always ready. You know, I always have a poker face, you know, got my poker face on, and it's like, you know, I'm ready to, you know, try my hand at Joey Chestnut and Stoney, and, you know, let's just see who has the best cards on the table at the end.
Yeah. Is there a lot of trash talk that goes on amongst the other competitive eaters?
Yeah, there's a few, you know what I'm saying, but you know, it's like everybody knows, you know, we know what time it is, you know, everybody knows that Badlands has the experience, you know, Badlands has the heart, you know, Badlands is always hungry and focused, so, you know, they can say what they want, as long as they spell my name right, and we just bring it to the table, because it's like, you know, actions speak louder than words, pretty much.
All right, so we're looking forward to seeing more about the quarantine challenge over on MajorLeagueEating.com. And don't forget to go on over to BetOnline.ag to place your wagers, play poker, and do much more. Don't forget about that sign-up bonus as well when you use the promo code PODCAST1 over on BetOnline.ag. Dave Badlands, thank you so much. I'm Rob Cesternino. Thanks for listening.
Hey, I got a new podcast coming. It's called Theory.
Don't you know?
This is Theo Rossi. Our world is changing. For many of us, it'll never feel the same. The important thing to remember is that we are all in this together. And that's some of what I want to talk about on my new show, Theory. We're going to discuss the things that no one ever does. The real talk, the sacrifice, and the struggle that everyone goes through. My life has kind of put me in a unique position to see things honestly. This is Theo Rossi, and my new show, Theory, launches on April 8th, officially on Spotify, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.